Was God involved only in the initial act of creation, or is God still active in sustaining what he has made? Hello, this is Good Word. I am your host for this quarter, Dave Thomas. We are exploring the question of origins, how life and things came to be. And at this point in the series of lessons, we are looking at some of the implications of the stories of origins, particularly creation. And I'm happy to have two colleagues again with me, Alden Thompson, a biblical scholar from the theology department at Walla Walla University, and Bob Cushman, a paleobiologist. Gentlemen, we come to this question about, I suspect neither one of you would argue that God only created and then left it to go to some part of the universe. So the question I raise is God still active in sustaining creation? If so, what evidences do we have, and what implications are there for that?
Well, Philip Yancey wrote an interesting book called Disappointment with God. And one of the things that he noticed, he says, at the time when there were the most miracles, he's thinking of the Exodus, Elijah, Elisha, that's when the people were furthest from God. It seems to me, as you look at Scripture, there are clearly times when God was mostly silent. Mm-hmm. He steps back and lets them take their place. And it's still the case that one person can look something and see a miracle, another one won't see anything there at all. So those are all factors that come in here in terms of how God relates to his creation.
Now, we mentioned a while ago, and it probably bears mentioning here again, that the creation story in Genesis does not allow for a pantheistic interpretation. So however we understand God to be relating to his creation, it's not infusing it, right? That God would be outside of creation. Maybe I could steer this discussion a little bit. What about the mechanisms within the natural world, within our biosphere, that were designed to sustain it? Can we talk about some of those? Are there such mechanisms?
In the regenerating forces within the body, for example?
Sure.
Sure. The fact that we replace cells in our body on a regular basis, yeah. Those kind of self-sustaining mechanisms. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you talk about God as sustainer, do you think of it as if God created those to be self-sustaining, or is he somehow on a daily basis sustaining life?
And I would even go to something like the water cycle. Mm-hmm. I would go to the capacity of nature to rejuvenate itself after it's been torn up and wrecked. I mean, we all know.
After a disaster.
Yeah. Or even you plow a field and leave it fallow. It doesn't just stay open dirt. It reconstitutes itself. I was intrigued years ago with the island of Surtsey, which was a volcanic island that emerged from the ocean not too far away from Iceland, and people were fascinated. I read about that in National Geographic years ago, and they postulated that it would be months before anything green, because this is basically, I mean, it emerged in a sterile manner almost, because it's volcanic stuff that comes up. And here, within a matter of 2 months, you have things growing down on the low region. So, and I'm also thinking of the capacity for food production. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible talks about everything having seed and fruit and stuff, and that's for our consumption. So would it be correct to say that God didn't only create things, but by creating sustaining mechanisms, he is provided for the ongoing sustenance of planet Earth?
Yes.
Well, I'll admit to a great dilemma here, because we tend to think in causal relationships. And if you take that to its logical conclusion, then there's no place for God's special intervention. Do you want to go the route that says God directly causes everything? Well, probably not.
I don't want to go that way, no.
But do you want to rule out completely God's special intervention?
No, I don't want to rule that out. But okay. What I'm saying is that it's interesting in the creation story when you read that God builds into creation a bunch of mechanisms that allow for the perpetuation of life. I mean, the fact mm-hmm. that Adam and Eve can produce offspring, the fact that everything can reproduce after its kind, the fact that there's fruits and grains and stuff that are produced that are extraneous to the, they far exceed what's necessary for the propagation of a plant. You know, you plant one wheat seed and you get 100 wheat berries at the end, that you don't need that much. So there's obviously a provision built into nature. I'm not suggesting that that means God has gone off and just left us to run by ourselves.
You see, but the human mind has a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that because the logical conclusion would be to go to deism. The other one is to see God manipulating everything.
So that when a bee fertilizes a flower, that's because God directly controlled the bee? Mm-hmm. See, I have a hard time going there. That turns God almost into a meddlesome person.
I wonder, had God not created humans, if he would have been an interventionist. Because it seems to me that,
that's an interesting
that if
question,
nature Bob. Is sustainable and God created it that way, it wasn't until he created humans that read in Genesis that he came and walked among them, if you will. So it's like he created the nature as we know it, but then when he created humans, that's when he became involved with his creation from a hands-on perspective.
But you have these marvelous testimonies, and I think of one ancient book that we've read several times. We thought we heard the angels sing. Eddie Rittenbacher, Captain Whittaker, out on a little raft in the Pacific, see, and they were desperately in need of water, and they saw the
cloud.
They saw the clouds, and the wind was pushing it away. And then, as if by some mysterious hand, you know, against the wind, it came, you know, and bathed them, you see. I don't want to rule out those kinds of interventions.
See, I don't either, Alden. And what I'm suggesting here by the creation of those mechanisms doesn't mean that God is now disengaged.
Yeah.
But in other words, he provided. He didn't do the pantheistic thing at creation, and he didn't do the deistic thing. But it seems to me there is some middle ground here that God established various mechanisms that we rely on. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an elderly gentleman who lived right next door to me who since 1932 has planted onions, spends $15,000 a year to put little seeds in the ground. And I used to tell him, you're a man of great faith. You take your money and you stick it in the ground. Why are you so foolish to do that? You know, and it was interesting to talk to him. He's now passed away. But it was interesting to talk to him because from the time of planting to the time of the emergence of little green shoots is a very significant time. And I remember one year because it was so cold and rainy and so forth that those things didn't come up for 6 weeks. And when I would see him, he would say, well, boy, I don't know, I think I may have lost my money. And then one day the sun came out and the next day we saw all down these rows these little skinny shoots coming up. You know, they looked like very frail things. Well, over the winter and into the spring, they grow into big onions. So, you know, those mechanisms are present in life and they are reliable, but I would not suggest that their presence excludes the interaction
you know,
of God.
One model that I found helpful is a parental model. You know, you provide plenty of guidance, but hopefully as your children mature, they become independent. And there are many times as an adult that I would like to, especially my children or adult children, many times when I would like to intervene, but I choose not to. See, and so I think that there is something in the sense of God's oversight of us that could perhaps fit into that kind of model.
Would it be fair to say that when God intervenes in his creation, that it's usually on behalf of humanity in some form or another, rather than the basic functions of nature?
When people become involved, God seems to become much more attentive.
Yeah. And see, it raises the question, how similar is the world that we look at now? How similar is it to the way it was in the beginning? Because, I mean, for example, I talked about the water cycle. There was none of that prior to the flood, according to the Bible. And so the fact that there are these mechanisms within life, some of which, by the way, Bob, we were talking a little while ago between times that there are these things called natural disasters. And I mean, does God cause those? Or is this merely planet Earth struggling along within its prescribed mode? And then, of course, another question that emerges is, what do we do with God's intervention in nature? What do we call those miracles, I think, and some people want to disallow those. Why does God intervene sometimes and not others?
Well, yeah, this, for instance, with the storm, Sandy.
Yeah.
I was just reading just recently about how, in all the chaos, the government decreed that bedridden people, nursing homes and so on, were not to be evacuated. And that turned out to be just catastrophic, see. But the rationale is that previously they had Irene, and there was, you know, warnings of dire things. Well, it didn't turn out that bad. So people say, well, yeah, but maybe this one won't be that bad either. So it seems as though God has planted within us the ability to make some decisions, to prevent certain things, to use our heads. That's perhaps part of what means to have the image of God made in us, where He's given us certain responsibilities.
So do we have any idea why God intervenes sometimes in nature and sometimes He doesn't? And does God use nature for His purposes? Can I ask you that question?
Does He use human beings for His purpose?
Well, sure. But human beings have choice. I mean, does the natural world have choice?
Or does God work within the natural laws that He created?
Mm-hmm.
I think, from my perspective, there are elements of nature that we simply don't understand, and God may have ways of working through them mm-hmm. that we don't understand. And if we're not willing to admit that, then I think it makes it pretty difficult.
Yeah. And I don't think it has to be said that God breaks the laws of nature. Mm-hmm. It might be that He can suspend them. I sometimes talk about if we were sitting in a room and somebody dropped a ball from up above and you reached out your hand and caught the ball, you don't destroy the law of gravity. You've only acted in a way that suspends its effect for the time being. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, I wonder if God's actions that way. Certainly in the Bible, God is an interactive God. And I know in some cultures that are not as skeptically driven as us in the West, they say we don't believe in miracles, we rely on them. That's kind of what happens. So, well, Alden and Bob, thank you very much. This is an interesting little subject about God's continuing provision. I think that as believers, we rejoice in that belief that God does have care for this world and intervene sometimes even beyond the natural mechanisms that are established. Next week, we'll be looking at the subject of marriage. So I hope you'll join us. In the meantime, my thanks to Alden and Bob for their contributions and involvement here today. My thanks to Chad Ofterhaar, our faithful engineer. And my thanks to all of you for listening. For Good Word, I am David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.